Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Today, we continue with our selfie series, building relationships in a selfie-centered world. A world tries to tell us, newspapers, films, TV programs, you can go it alone, you don't need anybody else. You can be the James Bond, you can be the Rambo, you don't need a team, you can go for it all by yourself. But we know that it's kingdom, and it's God's kingdom to say we need each other. We get by with a little help from our friends, as I keep mentioning it. It's a true lyric in a song. We get by with a little help from our friends. We need people around us. We cannot get through the walk and the call that God has got for us if we are living with a selfie kind of lifestyle. And obviously it's a play on words. Obviously a selfie is a picture. I saw a great thing about selfies actually yesterday. I was reading in Madame Tussauds in Hollywood that people were getting there taking selfies and their photograph with the waxwork of the Terminator. But Arnold Schwarzenegger himself had gone and stood on the platform. And people come up thinking, man, that looks real. And as people were getting the photograph with it, it'd just move. It's like, man, he felt like he went walking off around Hollywood in all his Terminator gear. And so you can imagine, can't you, getting a selfie with the T-800 from Terminator, and all of a sudden it turns around and grabs hold of you, you'd be like, yeah, you would not be going again. It's I'm staying out of the way. But we're going to bring this series into land today, and what I want to look at today is the fact that we're created for freedom.
Yeah.
And God created us for freedom. You can kind of all amen that. You know, or you can sing the song, it was for freedom, for freedom, freedom. You remember that one? It was for freedom, Christ has set me free. Yeah. Is it an old Faith Camp song, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see. It was for freedom. Yeah, every time I read that scripture, I think of it, I think, man, yeah, that song. I've been in there in the sheep shed on a rainy night with the wind blustering through. And it was for freedom, so we're going to close those doors. It was for freedom, is this place going to hold up? It was for freedom. Oh, that's that guy from Bible College. It was for freedom. You know, it's not just me. We all have that faith camp. At some point, we've all been sat there at 11 o'clock at night, freezing cold, thinking, if it's cold in here with 5,000 people, it's going to be cold in my tent when I get back there. But we have been created for freedom, we've been created for friendship, and we've been created with self-control. And the main thing I want to look at today is about self-control. And the key is in the word self-control. But my starting point is today, I want to go right back to the beginning, because it's a really good place to start. Not the words of me.
Julie Andrews.
And as we go back to Genesis. Genesis 2, 15 to 17. And this gives a real picture of our relationship with Father God. And it says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you are sure to die. Now, I don't know about you, but the amount of times I've been asked the question, well, if God's so wise, why did he put the tree there in the first place? Is it just me? Has anybody else been asked that question? If God's so wise, why did he put the tree there in the first place? Then if it wasn't there, there wouldn't be a problem. And I'm like, yes, okay, I see where you're coming from, but the tree of choice, the tree that was placed there by God, was saying, I give you freedom in this relationship. I give you the ability to control your side of this relationship. It's no good God saying you've been created for freedom, but not giving you another choice.
That's right.
Because that's not freedom. It's no good me saying to Elijah, would you like fish fingers of veggie fingers for your dinner tonight? But all I put is a box of bird's eye fish fingers on the table. He's like, where's the choice? Where's the choice here? God loves us so much, he gave us that choice. God is not a controlling God. God does not control us. He gives us the ability for self control. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. God is not controlling you. Sometimes, like if you're like me, you might think, I really wish sometimes he did. You know, sometimes I find myself in situations, I think it would be much easier if I had a little device strapped to the back of my head and God just said, and controlled me. And it's like, get to the end of the day and think, wow, that was awesome. But we, you know, God hasn't created, because that's not love, is it? That wouldn't be the heart of a loving father to say, I've created you, I love you, this is how I want you to live, now do it, but there not be any other choice. That one tree in the Garden of Eden shows us the love of the Father is so great that he gave us the freedom to choose. In our relationship with God, we have the freedom to choose. We know we have the freedom whether we choose to follow God in the first place, whether we give our lives to him, and we also know that once we've done that, once we get to that place, we have an ability to either choose to go God's way or choose not to go God's way. But yet, in all of that, we have to operate in self-control. As we do that, we start to see the freedom that God has given us at work. Our relationship with God is a relationship of freedom. It is a relationship of liberty. And we have scriptural backup of that as well. 2 Corinthians 3:17. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There needs to be the Spirit of the Lord in the centre of your relationship with the Lord. When the Spirit of God is there, there is a freedom, there is a liberty. When the Spirit of God is there in your human relationships, there is a freedom and a liberty. And that's a challenge for a lot of us. We're given the fruit of self-control. We're given the ability to self-control. But yet, so often, we want to control the people. We want to control the situation. We want to control the person and control their side. But today, what I want us to look at is the fact that we have a responsibility in all our relationships, whether it be our relationship with the Father, whether it be our relationship with our kids, whether it be our relationship with our spouse, our friends, our work colleagues, we have a responsibility to control my side of that agreement. I don't get to control you, I get to control me. And if I can control my side, then what everybody else does with their side is up to them. But I need to control my side. I need to control my side of my relationship with Father God. He's controlling his side, and he does a really good job. He's a great loving father who manages, you know, he operates in self-control. He's a great loving father that can control himself, and he does a great job on his side. I'm going to be honest, sometimes I don't do such a good job on my side, whether that be with my relationship with God, whether that be my relationship with my son. I already mentioned in the prayer meeting this morning, you know, self-control is difficult to have when you're already kind of on the edge and your son has his scooter and goes alongside your brand new black car the day after you've just picked it up, which is what happened to me yesterday. And I'm kind of like, boom, I was gone. I was like, what is the matter with you? You know, I told you to stop, open your ears. And I'm like, okay. And I don't like the person I become when I don't operate in self-control. But sometimes I don't operate in self-control, and I felt so bad. And as we bring ourselves back round and say, man, okay, the way I responded there was bad. And, you know, one of the things I love about my relationship with my son is, and my wife, we're not too proud to apologise to one another. I can pull my son to one side and say, look, daddy was out of order there. I got angry, I got scared. Thankfully the car's fine. and our relationship's fine as well. But I failed on my part in that relationship. Elijah had to take care of his side of his response. I had a job to take care of my side. And in that relationship as the adult, I should have been able to deal with that a little bit better. But you know, I didn't deal with my self side so much. The fruit of self-control kind of, but you know, it's great, isn't it? You're bringing a message about self-control and something like that happens the day before. You know, you'll probably all get this tomorrow. It's like, not that I'm speaking it over you, but I don't know about you, but I sit in a message and the next thing it's like, oh man, yeah, okay, I get this now. And as we operate in that self-control, as we work in that, our relationships are drawn closer together. We start to see, okay, if I'm created for freedom, then I can't control other people. I don't feel comfortable when people are controlling me, and I don't feel comfortable when I start to try and control other people, because I know I start to become somebody which God hasn't created me to be. He's created me for freedom, and he's given me the ability to self-control myself, to live in a place where I'm saying, despite what you do on your side, despite how you are, despite what happens in this relationship, I'm going to manage my side. I'm going to be self-controlled. I'm going to ensure that on this side, I'm self-controlled. And everybody, like, there's a few husbands and wives looking at each other. It's like, you know, I'm going to control my side in this relationship. And if I control my side, if I remain self-controlled, and I keep loving you, if I keep loving you in this side of this relationship, then what you decide to do with your side of the relationship, I can't do anything about that. But for me, I am going to do it God's way. And God's way is, here you go, there's the garden. By the way, I need you to follow me. You created to follow me and be in a relationship with me. Don't touch the tree over there, because that's not good. It's a choice, it's there, but don't do it. And God manages his side really well then. But we see that the Adam, Eve don't operate in self-control very much. They kind of mess up their side of the argument. They mess up their side of the relationship. And things go a bit wrong. And God, you know, praise God, he had a plan to put that right. And he does. And Christ came that we could be free again. And that freedom of that relationship comes again. But for us in our relationships, we have to manage our side. We cannot manage the side of the other person. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
We can't manage the side of the other person. And for me, that's a challenge. It really is. Sometimes it's a challenge, because I can quite easily become a very controlling person. I don't know about anybody else, but I can quite easily become a controlling person and think, okay, well, I want to control this situation. I want to control that person. And I'm not quite keen on where this is going. So I'm going to control you and direct you and make you go where I want you to go until this is how I think it should be. But if I do that, I'm crossing into an area that I've not been given authority, freedom or liberty to go into. And quite soon, those people that I'm being like that with are going to start to pull away from me. And they're going to start to say, okay, whoa, something's not right with this. I'm not feeling too good about this. I'm not feeling like this is healthy for me. You're trying to control, you're trying to manipulate, you're trying to take over the way that I'm living. I'm going to control my side, and I'm going to continue to love you, and I'm going to keep my love on towards you, and I'm going to love you and however that looks, but I'm not going to control you. And I love that, because we're given the ability to do that. Nowhere are we given the ability scripturally to control other people. We're only given self-control. It talks about self-control. There's loads of proverbs about self-control, self-control, self-control. And so often we get caught up in self-control, and we literally think of it, okay, self-control, that basically means that when I'm annoyed, I don't get angry and I don't explode and burst up, right? And as we do that, as we start to limit it to one emotion, one thing, we miss the whole realm of what self-control really is. Yes, it's about staying in control of our emotions and not responding out of anger, and as soon as somebody does something we don't like, just exploding all over them and leaving a devastated mess. It's about, yes, controlling the emotions, yes, controlling the words you speak. And again, your emotions, your words, how you respond, what you say, how you do it, it's all about you, 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 you. It's quite funny, isn't it, really? It's about a selfie, the selfie series, but the whole thing is about you. Because the relationships that you have are based on you. You're part of that relationship. And as we do that, our relationships are drawn together, because we're drawn to people where we think, this person's not going to control or try to control me. There's something in that person I like. There's something that draws me to that person, because I feel there's a freedom in this relationship where we're both allowed to express who we are. We're both allowed to operate in love. We're both allowed to operate in such a way where we can control our side of the deal. And as we both control our side of this deal, it comes together to make something beautiful. A marriage where the husband and the wife are managing themselves and operating in self-control is a beautiful thing. A parent-child relationship where you are teaching your child to operate in self-control. You are teaching your child to operate in that freedom in such a way. It's a beautiful thing to watch. When the parent doesn't need to grab a hold of the kid and do whatever they think is acceptable to do with their child to put them in place. When the child is able to live in that freedom of recognising, okay, I've got to make some decisions here. Dad's going to control himself. Yesterday's not a very good example of that, is it? Dad's going to control himself. And I'm going to control me. And if we both do that, this is going to be a beautiful relationship. But the moment I start to try and control and I remove the control and say, you are not doing this. I've said that. It's, you know, we kind of like explode over our kids. And like, you're not doing it. There's no freedom. Nothing. You do what I say. There's the chip on the back of your neck. I'll program it tomorrow and you'll do exactly as I say. And, you know, it just doesn't. And as we do that and as we start to see that, it causes a distance. And this whole series, if anything, is about drawing a connection with one another and God and protecting that connection with one another and God. We need to protect that connection. We need to have things in place. If I treat my child like I'm there to control him and I'm there to just give him it all the time, if I treat him that way, the connection's going to be broken at some point. My connection with that person is going to be broken. And I'm going to have to work really hard to get that connection back. That heart connection, that love connection, is going to need some work to get it back. It can be restored. We know that God's a great redeemer and there's always redemption. And we should always move forward with the thought of redemption. Because that's what Jesus does. You know, his plan for redemption, wasn't it? To go forward. But as I look at my relationships and think, yeah, I can see some of those relationships are not as they should be. When I look at the situations that I'm in and think, that's not how it should be. And I have to operate in self-control. Sometimes we do it great, don't we? We kind of like tick the box, self-control, done it, got that one. But then another test comes, and another test comes. And sometimes those tests take longer than others. Don't you just love the test from God where it kind of takes about 5 minutes and you're like, test done, move on, next thing. And as you move into that, it's something which we have to deal with and recognise this is going to take longer than I wanted. Again, it's a challenge for me because I'm not somebody that likes things to take a long time. I kind of like have to restrain myself and hold myself back. It's like, okay, yeah, there's a car that I like. Let's go and get it. Can we at least look at it first? No, I've seen the pictures online. It's a nice car. We're going to get the car. It looks great. Yeah, we've not seen it yet. No, it looks good. Look, it's this, 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 and this. Like, Sam's great. She's kind of like, she does a great job on her side of controlling herself, which then brings a great connection between us to say, let's just hold on a minute, okay? But at the same time, Sam can sometimes just not take that step that's needed. So the car could be there, and it could be the right thing. But there's like this thing, so we're kind of like eventually meeting in the middle and say, let's go, let's don't, let's go, yeah, okay, let's do it. And it works well. As we both control either side of our relationship, it works well for us. As we control our side in our relationship with God, it works well. And that relationship is the best one because it's the only relationship that you have where you control your side, where you know that the person on the other side is going to be a star at controlling their side. God is not going to fail you. God is not going to break his trust. God is not going to break his promise. God is going to come through on everything he's said, done, and is going to do. And that's an awesome connection. That's why our relationship with God is so important, because we need that. Because if we're honest, then it's only God that can do that. We all let each other down. We all fail one another. We all say things that hurt one another. We all do things that hurt one another. We just do. And our relationships grow stronger when we're able to accept the fact of saying, look, I know you're going to let me down at some point. I know this is not going to work at some point. But let's deal with this and move forward. I can say that the strongest, deepest relationships that I have are not the ones where problems don't come up. They're actually the relationships where problems do come up. And I'm able to get with those people, sit with those people, work through with those people and say, I love you. I'm keeping my love on in this relationship. Let's work through this. Let's do something about this. Because I want to make this work. You know, every marriage relationship at some point needed some work. If not, then you need to write a book or produce a curriculum or, like, I don't know, whatever, start your own marriage empowerment weekends. If at some point in your marriage you haven't had to work, you know, Cheryl Cole or whatever she calls herself these days had it right. You've got to fight for this love. You've got to fight for this love. It's quite ironic, isn't it? She got divorced about 2 years later. But anyway, you've got to fight for this love. And it's saying, okay, I'm going to fight for this love on my side. On my side, I'm going to control me. I'm going to do me. I'm going to ensure that I'm going to fight for this love. There's, you know, I can remember the point where, as again, I'm sure everybody else who's in a relationship has hit where you think you're going to break up. I can remember the day still. I can remember the moment. I can remember where we were. When me and Sam were out doing whatever we did when we were courting. For those people that are under 30, that means dating. I remember the point where, well, I thought we were going to break up. We had this discussion, we had a bit of an argument, things were kind of like, and it was like, okay, is that it then? Are we going our separate ways? And we both had to make this decision and say, no, let's work at this. Let's fight for this. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Great family. 2.5-year-old boy, one on the way, kind of, you know, growing in love. But I think if at that point we'd not made a decision to say, I'm going to control, you know, we didn't even understand this, but at that point we had to make the decision to say, I'm going to control my side, you control your side, I love you, let's work through this, let's make this work. And every relationship, whether it's a relationship with your kids, whether it's a relationship with a work colleague, that it needs you to control your side, because that is how God has created you to live. That is how God has created you to live. The reason why we get so down and we get so worked up when we're not living in that freedom is because it's not how we've been created to live. If you are in a controlling relationship, the reason you don't like it is because you weren't created to live in that way. You're living completely contrary to how God has put you in that relationship. It feels uncomfortable, it feels unnatural to be controlled because you weren't created to be controlled. It's trying to cause somebody to do something they were never created by God to do. If God doesn't control us on his side of our relationship, then we sure don't have the authority or the permission by God to control one another in our relationships. We have to keep our love on towards one another, say that we do love one another, say that I'm going to do my side, you do your side, and this is going to create a beautiful thing. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. A yoke of slavery by the devil, who at that point, until you broke that yoke, when you came into relationship with Jesus, you were controlled by him. The yoke of slavery was a control by the devil. He was controlling you. Your life was controlled, not by God, not by somebody else, by the devil. You were a slave to your sin. You were a slave to the life which he had you caught up in. And as we accept our freedom in Christ and we break through into a freedom with Christ, we break through into a realm where God created us to be. We break through into a place where he has said, I have created you to be free. I have created you to control yourself. Do not let yourself fall back into that place of control with the devil again. Don't let yourself fall into a place of control with other people. Now that's a bit more tricky. It's easy to just kind of have a bit of warfare prayer and tell the devil to get out, and, you know, if you're me, you get the sword off the wall, and, you know, just recently that sword's kind of been more in my hand than it has been on the wall at the moment. And, you know, if you're new here, that sounds weird probably, but yes, I have a I have a sword on my wall in my office which represents the spiritual warfare. When I'm really praying, I need that sword in my hand. And I was really encouraged to a John Maxwell day a couple of months ago. I asked one of the guys there, who was a leader at 12 Stone Church in Atlanta, which is a massive church, and he talked about how some of their leadership meetings, and I asked a question in the Q&A, I said, can you just take us through what a leadership meeting might look like at 12 Stone. You mentioned it a little bit. Can you open it up a little bit more? And he said, this is going to sound really weird, but our leader gave us all swords. And sometimes we're called to bring our swords and we have to walk around the church with these swords. And I was like, that doesn't sound weird at all. Which, like, the guy came over to me then having this conversation, what kind of sword have you got? You know, I was like, it's a sword of Elendil, it's Aragorn's sword from Lord of the Rings, the sword of the kings. Ah, cool, yeah, I've got a samurai sword. It's like, anybody listening in from the outside, like, what are these guys talking about? But, you know, as I do that, I have to get, you know, I have to just do that. It just helps. It helps me do that. Helps me operate in self-control. And who knows that when you're wielding a replica Lord of the Rings sword, you need to operate in self-control. And there's certain times I kind of like to think, oh, there's something I'm going to do, something kind of a bit crazy, like stab the sofa or something like that. Just to see that, you know, our weapons are spiritual. And we have these weapons. We're given these spiritual weapons. God gives us spiritual weapons to operate in self-control. Self-control starts in the mind, then moves to the heart. If you catch it while it's still in your mind, it's much easier to deal with. If your side of a relationship is caught while it's still in the mind, while it's still thoughts, while you're still thinking, I'm not sure about this, do I like this person, don't I like this person, can I love this person, while it's in those thoughts, if you can use the weapons of warfare given to you by God, you can cut it off before it gets to the heart. And weapons are cool. Spiritual weapons, normal weapons. You know, I like weapons. You know, I kind of like having to hold myself back, like not letting Elijah have too many things at his age. So like you know, swords and things. He's got a Captain America shield. That's about as far as it goes at the moment. But I've got a bow and arrow, not a real one. We just play around in the garden. And we had Josh around the other day. He was loving messing around in the garden with it as well. But I like weapons. And I like the concept of spiritual weapons and the dunamis of God, which means where we get the word dynamite from. Something that just does a big job and a big number on something. So use the weapons of warfare and spiritual warfare you've got to help you with that self-control. Use what it is that God's given you to say, okay, on my side, I'm going to control this. I'm going to control these thoughts. I'm going to control my heart. I'm going to control my love, but I'm not going to control you. I'm going to take a hold of what it is God's given to me, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to make this situation work. And as we operate in that self-control, and that's where last week's message kind of comes in a little bit more, of saying, okay, well, I've got to control me. In this life, I've got to control me. I've got a job to operate in self-control, because if I don't, somebody else is going to, or some other people are going to. Now, does last week's message about the boundaries and the intimacy levels say, well, this is my little group, and if you're not in my group, if you're not in my clique, then you can't come in? No. We're open to everybody, but what it says is I've only got so many resources. God's only given me so much finance. God's only given me so much time. God's only given me so much energy. And I have a job as somebody who is self-controlled to say, right, how am I going to manage myself in these relationships? Because I cannot, not that I don't want to, I cannot give to everybody in the same way that I can some other people. And we're all in that situation. Even a child will find themselves in that situation. You find it on the playground, don't you? You want to play with everybody, but, you know, we're going to play with somebody, but, and it comes up. And that sometimes becomes a challenge and tricky, because we have a heart to be generous. We have a heart to love. We have a heart to be sacrificial, and we want to do all those things, and we want to operate in all those things, but yet we get to the point where we think, I want to do this, but I literally can't do it. And that's where self-control comes in. It's I have to control my side of these relationships. I have to control what God has entrusted to me. When you become good at something, when people find out that you're good at something, you need to operate in self-control. Because everybody's going to want you to fix the problem. Let's say, for example, you become the tech guy. Okay, so you're the person that you're the tech guy, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your church. You just, like, you've got that magic touch where something's been going wrong on someone's iPhone, you just kind of go, there you go, it's working now. Oh, people have got a virus on their computer. You're the tech guy in the area, and everybody needs you. They want a piece of you because you can fix their problem. They don't have to go to the Apple store and pay goodness knows how much to get it fixed. They can fix your problem. And 10 people come to you as the tech guy and say, I need you to fix my computer. Can you fix my computer? And you say yes to all 10. And then you find yourself in a situation where your yes becomes a burden. And you're thinking, why did I do this? I wish I'd have been self-controlled and said, I'm happy to help, but I might not be able to fix the whole thing. I'm happy to help you. And that might be, as I said, the intimacy levels, that might be different. If Elijah breaks something, then I'm going to fix it for him. If he breaks one of his toys, I'm going to fix it. I tend to fix things all the time, actually. I'm getting sick of gluing Spider-Man's legs back on. Over super glue and tie wraps. I'm going to fix it for him. And, you know, there might be some other kids, but if every child in Just for Kids came to me and said, my Spider-Man figure's broke, every week. And they came to me and said, my Spider-Man figure is broken, his legs have snapped off, Pastor Shane, you have to fix it. Then that I might be able to keep that up for so long, but eventually there's not going to be enough super glue that I can acquire to fix those kids' Spider-Man. There's not going to be enough resources for me to do it. So when we start to operate in self-control, it's not saying to people, I'm sorry, but you're just not in my connection stream, you're not in my sphere of influence, I'm not going to help you. It's just recognising that if I'm operating in self-control, if I'm truly operating in love towards you, sometimes the way I'm going to love you is saying, I can't do that because I just can't commit to that level. I cannot do that to that level. I can't give to that level. I'm really sorry, my heart is to be generous, my heart is to bless you. But I'm just not in that situation. My nan was a majorly generous woman. She was really, really generous. And every time a charity came to the door, or a charity phoned up, or a charity advert came on the telly, she was ringing up to give the money. And then we kind of found that, you know, it wasn't going too well in some ways, because all this money was going out to these places because there was a heart of generosity and a heart of help, but the money wasn't there to do it. And we had to kind of work out, okay, are we going to do this? Are we going to work with this? And, you know, our heart is a heart of generosity, but you can only give what you've already been given. And Jesus says, if you've got two coats, give your other one away. You've got to have the two coats first, haven't you? You can't, it doesn't say just give your coat away. If you've got two coats, give your coat away. And on the intimacy levels that we have with people, that is going to look different. How that self-control operates. And that's why God gives us the gift of self-control, to be able to say, I need to control my side. And sometimes that is about an emotional response and saying, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to flare up. I'm not going to burst out all over you. But sometimes that self-control in our relationships is just saying, I can't do that. I really want to. I'm really sorry. But I'm already helping that person. And if I could, I might be able to get round to it. But please don't expect that I'm able to do that. And we all need to operate in that level, because I can guarantee if those 10 people asked Tech Guy to fix their iPhone, whichever one it was that asked, the other 9 people don't know that those are the people have asked. They don't know that 10 people have asked Tech Guy to fix their phone. They're just thinking it's a one-to-one thing. Oh, it's not much for him to do. He's only fixing my iPhone. But when he's got 10 iPhones to fix, only he knows that, and only he has control over that situation, has the ability to have self-control to say, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I love you. I want to. I want to bless you. I want to love you like the Bible tells me to love you, and I will. But I can only do that to the point where I'm able to do that. I can only pour out what I have. I cannot give to you what I don't have. And when we start to spend more than we've got, we end up in debt. It's a simple principle. As a Leeds United fan, I understand the principle really well. We're still, as a football club, struggling with one season of spending money that the club didn't have. They spent money that wasn't there, and as they did, everything was like, okay, well, you've actually spent all this and now you can't pay it. We can only spend what we have. We can only give what we have. We've only got so much time. And sometimes it's going to be sacrificial. Sometimes there's going to be a point where the self-control requires a sacrifice. It requires a point where you say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step up and I'm going to do this. But I'm not going to be able to do it all the time. I'm not going to be able to fix everybody's iPhone all the time. I've got other stuff to do. I've got a job to do. I've got a church. I've got a ministry. I've got a family. I've got all these things. But I'm going to help you. I'm going to love you. But I'm going to control my side. I'm going to control the side that I've been entrusted with. And as I control my side, as I operate in self-control, a fruit of the Spirit, which is so key and enables us to live in a relationship, it actually saves our relationships as well. We're not giving false hope to people with something that we're not going to go through on. And we need to be sure that when we're saying to somebody, I'm going to do that, we need to be sure we're going to do it. The church needs to be a people that stands by their word. If we say, I'm with you, we need to stay with that person. If we say, I will do that, we need to be a people that are going to do it. Don't put yourself in a situation where, because of your lack of self-control, you find yourself in a position where you're not actually able to do what you said you were going to do in any relationship. I'd say particularly with your children. Don't tell your children you're going to do something and never do it. Whether that's something good or something not so good. For example, yesterday, again, Elijah, having a bit of a scream when we were in the Morrison's car park, and he had to, at that point, it was like, this is not fun for Daddy. You're hassling Daddy. You're going on the hassle chair when you get home. 2 minutes on the hassle chair, and that's it. And you know, everything. And that's difficult, because things kind of get fine and things kind of work out, and it was great. And, you know, we just got out of the car and we saw Pastor Lynn and Millie and Louie. We went over and said hello, and everything was great. But I still had to stand by my word of when we got in the house. I said, okay, Elijah, which chair would you like to go on for hassle time now? And he's like, oh, it's like, okay, on the chair, nice and quiet. Actually, the 2 minutes becomes more like 10 minutes. Clock starting, restarting all the time. But if I'd have just said, oh, you know what, it's been all right now. It's okay. Because what he starts to see is Dad's not actually operating in self-control, because Dad said, I'm gonna go on the hassle chair, but I'm not going on the hassle chair, so that's great. I've got to stand by my word just as much with putting him on the hassle chair as I have saying, one day soon, we'll get you a big Captain America figure. You know, I never heard the last of that one. Every time I heard someone say, one day, it's initially, one day soon, big Captain America. It didn't forget, but at the same time, he's going to come back and he's going to chase me on that one. He's not going to come up and say, oh, Daddy, can you remember? Well, he can't speak like that yet, actually, but when he's a bit older, oh, Daddy, you told me that at Morrison's I was supposed to go on the hassle chair. Can I go on the hassle time chair now, please? You know, I mean, it might do, who knows? I'm not ruling it out. But as I stand in a position of controlling my side, I'm going to ensure that what I'm controlling and what I'm doing is going to help people, not damage people. I'm going to ensure that what I say I'm going to come through on. And sometimes we try to expand so big that we can't help anybody, and we start to find this is just not working for me. So did the boundaries and intimacy levels last week talk about having a sphere of influence where it says, if you're not in my clique, then I'm not going to help? No. What it's saying is that, okay, I've got a responsibility to God. First and foremost, I've got to respond to God. I've got a responsibility to be self-controlled, and that's the easiest one as well, because God's always going to control his side. I've got a responsibility to ensure that I'm self-controlled with my family. I've got a responsibility to say that I'm going to be self-controlled and love the rest of mankind, humanity, and the people that God brings alongside me. Some of those people I might be able to help a little more than others. As I say, gluing Spider-Man's legs on is going to be the job of me when it's Elijah. If it's Josh or Dan, it's going to be Steve's job to super glue the legs of Spider-Man back on, or whoever it might be. And as we live that way, as we live self-controlled in our relationships on every single level, I can guarantee that the relationship, whether it's your relationship with God or anybody else, when you're controlling your side, the health of that relationship is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be strong, because people are going to look and say, that person is self-controlled. I like connecting with that person because I can see they're going to control their side. I can trust them. They bring hope. They bring joy. They bring a level of intimacy into this relationship, which is something different. But when we get into a situation where we are being controlled, we just need to work that out. And if you feel you're being controlled, by somebody on the other side, then the only thing you can do is control yourself and how you're going to respond to that, and responding in a godly kingdom way. And as we do that, we start to see the strength of our relationships come together. We start to see God at work in our relationships with him and with one another when we operate in love and self-control, with the view to saying, I'm going to protect this connection, I'm going to build this connection, and I'm going to ensure that my connection with these people, whoever they may be, isn't broken, isn't damaged, and isn't put in a position of ungodly relationship. And all those things come together, and they will stop you from being in a selfie world. You know, the world doesn't want to talk about these kinds of things. Our society doesn't want to talk, because we want to talk about controlling one another and you need to get people under control. And it's so not kingdom. It's so not kingdom. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of freedom, of liberty, and of self-control, where we control ourselves and we strengthen our relationships to the point where we come into every single relationship, regardless of who it is, with the goal of connection and love. Steve, I love you.
Love you too.
And I'm going to be really self-controlled. The fact that your phone's just gone off during my preach. It's on silent. Oh, that's a good silent. Don't worry. I love you. No, I'm not going to break this connection, okay? That wasn't planned or set up, by the way. I love you. This not. Don't worry about it. So let's work at that. This week, challenge yourself to say, I'm not going to control anybody else. I'm going to focus on controlling me, and see the difference it makes in your relationships. See the difference. I can guarantee that stepping out of this church, somebody's going to find themselves in a situation where they want to shout at somebody or have a go at somebody or do something, and just see how well you're able to operate in that self-control, because you've been given the fruit of self-control. If you are filled with the Spirit, you have it. The Spirit of God has given you the ability to do this. If you are not filled with the Spirit of God, we're just about to wrap up our service. Come and speak to me afterwards, and I'm happy to pray with you, with Faye and Steve, for you to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because the final point is, if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to be able to do any of this stuff we've looked at this last 3 weeks. Now, all this series is only capable, you're only capable of doing it by the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God there, the freedom and the liberty is not going to be there anyway. You're sure not going to be able to operate in that way. Operate in self-control, but most of all, recognize that the reason you're doing that is because of the love that you have for the people around you, the love for mankind, the love for society, the love for your family, the love for your church, the love for the people around you. The reason you're going to do it is because you're going to keep your love on towards those people. Even the person that really does your head in at work, you're going to keep your love on towards them, and you're going to operate in self-control. Bless you guys. Have a great week.